Hey guys, it's David from the Hypothetic RL, and I'm joined with two of the most illustrious judges you can have, the two first judges for the Hyperends this year. So I've got Richard, who judged the first game, and I've got Aaron, who judged the second one. How you going, guys?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, bit of a delay there, that's
Very well,
okay.
thanks. I didn't want to speak over Aaron, so that's
Oh,
off.
no,
Yeah, I
true.
had the
Maybe I
same
should
thing going on
direct.
there.
Maybe I should direct it to one person, not two, because it's probably not the best way. As far as a host go, I make a very good not host. So yeah, this is a bit of a new concept that I'm trying this year. So rather than the episodes that we do weekly that I was doing on history, I'm going to try and do episodes on pretty much the Hyper M's and the what's happening in the NRL season, and then we can do some other stuff other times, as I've told you all before. So it's going to be short one this time because I've only got two games to talk about. Probably best thing to do is to maybe I'll chat with you first, Richard, because your game was up first. So you had the first Vegas game. You had Manly against Souths. So do you want to give a bit of a first impression of what you thought of the game?
Well, firstly, the whole setup, the whole going to Vegas thing, it was amazing. The NRL got a really good response. A lot of people went over. They said it was about 50-50 with the people going over and the people being there. And I think the people who were sort of from there were mostly Australians going to see, like, the NRL because they could. But I think it got reasonable feedback on most levels. And the first game was the quality was really high. Everyone was worried about the width of the pitch and the length of the in goals, and the in goals were bigger than they used to be at Olympic Park in Melbourne. So it wasn't so much of a drama there. Yes, the pitch was a bit narrower, but Manly didn't get the memo because they just started throwing the ball wide early as soon as they could, and were making big gains out wide. So that
Yeah.
was both teams really. It didn't look like first round football. Often
No,
first
the
round football is a drag.
yeah, you could tell the different philosophy of the two teams though. Like I remember I was watching it and I think I was commenting to a couple of the guys. It might have been in our chat or it might have been in the Discord one, but I was sort of saying to people, it looked like Souths were on top because they'd won the middle. But Manly just refused to care about that. They just thought the ball's gonna go wide. I was talking to this guy in my office as a Souths fan, and he was sort of saying he was very upset about how boring and one out and one dimensional Souths were. But I kind of said that they really couldn't do much because every time they tried to pin Tarovic in the corner, he may not make the meters, but they'd go a couple of passes wide on the next tackle, and they were sort of out to the 30 every time they got to the second tackle. So Souths' game plan, I think, was to try and pin them, but they never could. So
Well, you had that left side. Was it Olakau'atu with Brooks and then going out to the Manly's? They were getting the ball out wide, and Manly had the absolute advantage in the outside backs. If you think about, there was a 28-year-old on debut and Kennar. South, up against Saab and Cooler and Garrick. I know Jackson Paulo wasn't great. He was probably the second worst player on Manly's team, but when you think you've got Trbojevic and then Brooks and DCE, there's combinations there that were working and working well, and Manly had speed to burn, and South had to keep it in the middle and had to keep it tight because their advantage was in their big guys in the forward.
Yeah, no, exactly right. I mean, the main thing about this is the turning points or the momentum kills or whatever we want to call them. Have you had a thought about what you think was the turning point? Obviously, there's a lot of things happening in a rugby league game, and you can recover from a lot of them. But what's your kind of thought on something that changed it?
There was a couple of things. One was the lineup. One was the advantage that Manly exploited, that they did have the benefit out wide, and that was something that, as the game went on, the more Manly worked out how to get the ball out wide, the better they became. But the real turning points, South led in the first 10 minutes of the second half, and they scored a try to take it out to 20-12, and then in the 49th minute, Davey Mo'ale turned the ball over, and Olakau'atu recovered it. Manly score, A couple of minutes later, Kennard knocks it on, Manly score. 6 minutes later, Gagai knocks on, Manly score. So you had three Souths errors, which were compounded by Manly scoring off the back of it. And all of a sudden, Souths went from 20 to 12 up to 30 to 20 down, and time was running out and it was game over. It
Yeah.
was that, it was Souths' continued errors and then leaking points on the back of errors in that middle of that second half. It just absolutely killed them and swung everything in Manly's favour.
No, I'd agree. That's exactly. I mean, this game's probably one of the easiest games we're going to have all year for a turning point, because when a team gets up 20 to 12 and then drops three tries, or basically allows three tries in a row, that's obviously the part where they lost the game. So pretty straightforward. So the only other thing I suppose to talk about on this game is who you want to give your points to. So did you want to run through your 3-2-1 for both teams and kind of reasons why?
I'll go in reverse order. So I'll go with 1 point first. Luke Brooks. It's an absolute. Last year, I did a game where Luke Brooks had the most number of errors I'd ever given to anybody in a game, with the least number of. He had zero good things and about eight bad things. I've never scored anyone with that many errors before, and he just looked absolutely lost at some point. He looked great. He looked, and he's always had the talent, but he's never had the support around him. Or even if he did, it's not been there for long. Last year with Appy, he started to get that bit of combination going, and they finally worked out their best spine. And then there was injuries, suspensions, whatever. But he looked settled. He looked like the world was off his shoulders, and he was playing well. A couple of errors, but it's not a Brooks performance without a couple of errors. But he just looked like he was enjoying himself. So 1 point to him. On
Definitely.
South side, I've got to go with Cullen Mutahi. He was just a workhorse. Got the work done. He was the only South, I think the only South forward to go over 100 metres. Don't
That
quote me on
sounds
that one,
about
but
right. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to check the stats, but it probably sounds about right.
on the 2 points, I think Saab. And if he's done his hamstring, if that's a bad injury, that's a massive blow for Manly. And they face the Roosters at home in a couple of weeks' time. So they want to sort of hope he's right for that one. But for the Manly, Saab definitely just ate up the meters. Was big. He was much taller than his opponent, caused South problems at the back, and he was great for South's Cookie. He just 40, almost 50 tackles, and I don't think anyone else got over 40, and barely over 30. He was kept them together for as long as he could, and he was good in he was pretty good at getting them going forward at times, especially in that first half. He
Yeah,
really,
I feel like after the first half, he probably was in box seat to get the 3 points, and then, I believe someone else you're going to pick probably stood out a bit after that. But yeah.
So for Manly, Ola Kuatu is my he's the guy that I'm giving the 3 points to for Manly. He got through a mountain of work. He struck hard. He was just a handful. And he just I know South had the big pack in the middle, but he was the one that was really standing up for Manly, especially with Ali going completely missing and virtually unseen all game. Ben Trbojevic played quite well, but I think it's got to be him. Nathan Brown, actually off the bench, I almost gave a point to him because he just, in that second half, he just kept putting his hand up for work. But Ola Kwartu. And for Souths, it's got to be Latrell. I know he made errors and he made more than anyone else in South's team, but he covered up by doing more with the ball than anybody else by double. He just, yes, he's got an error in him, but he scored a try, set one up. He was just in everything the South did well in attack. He was there, and he did okay. He was okay at the back at times, and but yeah, a couple of errors. If he gets those errors out, it'll just be absolutely devastating.
I know a Manly friend of ours, a Manly fan friend of both of ours that we've chatted to many times in the last few days. I think he would be objecting to you giving Latrell three, but that's fine. But I could see exactly what was going. When you start giving points, I'm like, I know he's getting three. So no, that's fair enough.
Look,
Do you
I mean,
yeah,
Walker
sorry.
had a quiet game. Ilias had a quiet game.
Yeah, definitely.
I know Cam Murray tried well. Burgess was strong on the bench.
Yeah.
Burgess really, I mean, I could have given a point to him easily. But yeah, and John, I know Johnston, he always, but
Yeah, but you couldn't give him points because you
I
basically
can't
got
give a point to
dominated by
everyone.
his opposite. So it's a bit hard to give him points there.
Yeah.
What do you reckon about that,
Yeah,
Aaron?
look.
Obviously, you would have probably seen the game as well. Do you have an opinion on the 3-2-1s and the turning point?
Yeah, honestly, I'm pretty happy with what was said there. I think for the most part, those were the six players that stood out to me as well. Turning point, yeah, that was very, very simple. I don't think there's anything you could really say other than that. I just thought the two Vegas games, because I watched both of them. It was all obviously kickoff of the season and really exciting time and great initiative by the NRL. And I just thought they were two, for the most part, brilliant games of footy. We had a high scoring one. We had a bit of a low scoring grind, and the fans up there, particularly the American fans, got treated to a little bit of everything in the end.
I tried to invite our good friend Dustin from the Rugby League of America to come and chat with us about it. I think he's actually in a coma, because he's so tired from all the Rugby League he got over the weekend, that he probably couldn't get out. And he actually said, sorry, I don't think I can. But I said, well, it's all fine, no problem. But yeah, it would have been great to hear his opinion of it. Maybe we'll get him on, a few weeks or so when he's recovered from it. But yeah, look, I think the most important thing is that now we've got to make a decision whether we send Manly to Las Vegas or whether we send the North Sydney Bears there, because obviously we need a Las Vegas team now, if you read all the Twitter and everything. So we've got to work out which one is going to become the Las Vegas team.
How about Manly?
I think it makes most sense. We get Manly away from everyone else, and it's just a good idea. We've already got them on a peninsula. We could just move them to a whole new country. It's just way easier for them.
I
Why
like the idea
not?
of the
It's just like a
18th team
giant
and making it the
peninsula.
Bears.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as someone said, oh, like you gotta, I saw it today. I was like, you gotta have a Las Vegas team and they've gotta play 5 times a year in Las Vegas. And I went, well, I mean, I reckon Foremost put his hand up and said, we'll have the other se seven games at North Sydney Oval. Thanks. He'd be all up for it. Las Vegas Bears. All right. Well, I think that's most we can really talk about in that game. Let's jump across to you, Aaron. Let's talk about the other game, which was obviously the Roosters and the Broncos. You want to sort of talk us through. See, this one's a bit harder for a turning point because it felt the game was still going for a while. A few things turned, and I think I had a chat to you about what I thought it might be. But what do you kind of think in terms of turning point?
Yeah, it was a really tricky one, I thought. The game kind of went in swings and roundabouts for momentum both ways for a very long period of time. And obviously, the Roosters only scored the game sealing try within the final 8 minutes or so, I think it might have been. And it was really open, really end to end. And there was not really too much to pinpoint out of potential turning points. Obviously, there were a few things early on that both teams kind of stuffed up, messed up, and but you can recover from that because it's so early in the game. I ended up going in the end with what you suggested was probably the main thing, which was the Brandon Smith not quite 40-20 because it was carried over the sideline by the Broncos player. I think it was Arthurs in the end.
Yeah, we made a meal of it. Like he tried to knock it back in, and he just ended up just running over the sideline. He kind of looked a bit like the old Rugby League Live game where you kick the ball to the sideline and the other team just runs out. That was pretty much what it looked like to me. But yeah, I feel like the Broncos still could have recovered from that, but I feel like that really turned it in the Roosters' favour. That gave them that extra possession. So, like, you never know. Obviously, we all know even from last year's grand final that you've got to play right to the 80th minute. But yeah, after that, I thought to myself, I didn't see the Roosters losing it. You can never tell, but you can see them losing it. What
I
about,
mean, even from that point,
yep.
credit to the Broncos for bringing it back and obviously getting it to back to a 4-point margin towards the middle of the second half there. But then they kind of just didn't really get too many other chances because the game went back into that grind and no team really had a chance to get on top until the Roosters got a couple of repeat sets, which was how they ended up scoring the game-sealing try.
Yeah, definitely. I was really impressed with Tyrrell May. I reckon he had a really, really good game, and a few of the other younger kind of Roosters forwards, which is very much a shame for everyone because it looks like the Roosters are going to be back again. We don't want that, do we, Richard?
Absolutely not. I mean, I don't know how I can cope with them playing well.
Fair enough.
The league doesn't need that.
We don't need that again. I mean, we need to have a year where we don't have either the Roosters or the Storm in the finals. Just for once in the last 10 years would be nice.
Mid-table mediocrity is much better for the blood pressure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm used to that from last year, mate, but I'm hoping that doesn't happen to us again. yeah. Do you want to, Aaron? Do you want to run through your 3-2-1s just quickly and tell us what you sort of thought about those?
Yeah, for sure. So I'll start with the Roosters, and I'll go in 1-2-3 order as well. Radley, I gave the 1 point. I thought he worked really hard in both attack and defence. Proved a bit of a difference in the end, with some really hard runs and some really strong tackles. Luke Keary got 2 for me. I thought he handled the game well, and this is kind of going to be a bit of a theme here. I thought in the end the difference between the two sides for the most part were the spines. The Rooster spine really lifted and played up to the occasion, whereas the Broncos spine not so much. I thought they struggled a little bit more in some of those big moments, in what was obviously a really big occasion. So yeah, Keary 2 points. He managed the game really well. Strong attacking game, a lot of good kicks, repeat sets from some kicks as well. I thought that was really important in the Roosters getting some more momentum towards the back end of there. And I surprised myself with this one. I gave the 3 points to James Tedesco. He
Ooh.
was really strong, guiding his troops from the back there. Really strong, good carries as well. That try he put on for Victor Radley was a really, really good piece of football in the end, I thought. And yeah, he probably put in the most work for the Roosters for me. As for the Broncos, I gave the 1 to his opposite number, the Broncos fullback Reece Walsh. He was a ball of energy for most of the game. He got off to a little bit of a slow start, but kind of found his groove a little bit more. Obviously, wasn't scared at all by the bright lights of Vegas, and was really determined to kind of carry his team there. Then my 2 points went to Jordan Rickey. I was really impressed with him, particularly in defense. As a like a second row forward, it's pretty impressive to make 52 tackles and only miss one, as well as put in a really good mountain of work in the with the ball, 12 runs for 101 meters, 44 post contact. He was an absolute workhorse, and a big reason why the Broncos got a lot of the momentum that they did. And 3 points I gave to Payne Haas as well. I thought he was really strong in attack, averaged more than 10 meters per run, made a lot of tackles, also broke 9 tackles, which, considering the man mountain he is quite impressive, I reckon. So that was my 3-2 ones there.
No, I can agree with those. They all make perfect sense. And yeah, I mean, look, another thing for the Broncos is they did lose Brendan Piekaro right at the start of the game, which meant they had to move Carrigan out to the outside, to the edge, and that threw them off a bit as well. So when you talk about Ricky, you had to do a lot more work. So, and obviously Payne Haas had to do a bit more work too. So yeah, I think that's justified giving them some points there. Yeah, all right. I think that's pretty much all we can talk about for those two games, unless someone's got anything else about the Broncos Roosters, or Roosters Broncos, I should say. It's because they're right around. But what we might do is I'm just gonna, all credit to NRL.com, I'm just gonna have a look at the because the team list came out today. Just a couple of things, a couple of interesting things. So obviously we got these games coming up this weekend. Yeah, first game of the weekend is going to be the Knights against the Raiders. I mean, interesting to see Kai Pierce-Paul getting a bench spot, so it's good for him. I actually have
So pick
in my
eight, like pick 7 or 8 on the bench, 7.
yeah, he might be not probably on the bench. He's probably on an extended bench. Is he actually on the bench? No, he's actually on the bench. He's number
No,
17.
he's
So
actually on the bench, yeah,
yeah,
17.
so So they've gone with him. Interestingly, the Raiders have gone with Ethan Strange at six. So they haven't done what I thought they'd do, put Kaio Weeks there. They've gone with Strange, which is, I suppose you could say, Strange. Rapana at fullback, I suppose, is okay. And then Dylan Lucas. So he played last year. I'm in a draft fantasy, and so I picked him up, and I didn't even know who he was. And then the other one said, "Hey, that's a really good pick because he's going to start for the Knights at back row." And I'm glad I did now because he is starting. So, what do you guys think about Ethan Strange at six for the Raiders? Do you have any opinions on that? Maybe Richard first.
I need to see a little bit more of him. I Fogarty is Mr. Solid. Strange, I haven't seen a hell of a lot. I'm really surprised that their hooker rotation is Levi and Starling. What has Wolford done?
I
Is he
don't
did he
know.
kick Ricky's dog?
I don't know. They just
I
never
think.
treat him with respect. I have a feeling they is he still quite young? I'm trying to remember if that maybe that's the reason. Maybe they think he's not up for it because they're sort of treating him like he's
He's
not.
27. He's
Yeah, that's what I say.
27.
They're treating him like he's a young kid they don't want to expose or something. I don't know. He must have
And
kicked
I
a
don't
dog.
know if Ricky just has a beef with his dad over something,
Who
like, and he
knows?
just doesn't want to play him. And but I don't know, because Danny Levi, I mean, he was all right when he was at Huddersfield. I think that's where he went in England. But I just, whenever I've seen him, he doesn't seem to add something. But Wolford really does seem to have everything that you need.
Yeah, I mean,
And
on the other side, the Knights have got Phoenix Crosland because Jaden Brayley's out, and then their kind of utility half on the bench is Jack Cogger. So I don't know, maybe they don't think they need to do much because they probably haven't covered.
I see every year people put the Raiders, are they going to be bottom three? Like, grow up. Like, seriously, they're never going to be a bottom three team. They're always going to be in or around the eight because they just have that home field advantage where it's freezing cold in winter. And they get home, they get enough home wins, they bank enough at home that they're always going to be in or around the middle of the league. And that Schiller is electric. And if he gets, they've got depth out wide. So if they can work out their number one, and I'm not sure if Rapana is really the man, but Savage seems to have just gone off the radar down there.
Well, he's playing on the
But I
wing.
just
They've put
think,
Savage on the wing for this week, which is weird.
is he number five? Oh, there
Yeah,
he
so they put
is.
him on the
Yeah, he
wing.
is
So
too.
it
But I
goes
think even
Rapana, Kotrick, Tomoko, Hopewadi, and Savage. I don't know. I find it very strange. And
no,
I
I
thought Ethan
yeah.
Strange was a fullback, not a 5'8". So I might be wrong about that. But I thought that's where he played. So I suppose
Well, if they've
nowadays.
got Rapana and they've got, and so I think Schiller, I think he played in trials at fullback, didn't he?
He
Didn't he come
definitely
on?
played. I'm not sure
He
if he
had that
played
length of
fullback.
the, he had that length, that really long run. So if they've got a bit of depth there, then they do need someone in the six. So,
Yeah.
because they were
Oh, I
filling in
suppose.
with, well, Ricky kept saying that, they had to fill in six all last year, which was a bit disrespectful. Well, his best position is center and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I think that if they can, even if they get a couple of injuries, I think the Raiders are still going to trouble teams all year. And they always work from the line. They've always good forwards, good pack. If they can really work out the hooker rotation, I think they're going to be in or around sniffing about that 8th, 7th place again.
I suppose. What do you think, Aaron, in terms of that? I mean, I noticed as well that we've got Morgan Smithies, who's the Englishman, starting at lock. So that's pretty big to have him start. What's your sort of thoughts on these two teams?
Yeah, the Knights are lining up as pretty much as I expected them to. The injury to Brayley,
Jack
I
Brayley,
think,
yeah.
was probably the thing that it was a question of who would slot in to replace him. But Phoenix Crosland seems to be that player who can fill multiple positions and do a job wherever he's named. So that's what I'll be expecting of him on Thursday night, and then. Yeah, the Raiders are an interesting one. I was fully expecting KO Weeks to get the start as well. I haven't seen too much of Ethan Strange, so I'm not 100% sure what to expect from him, but obviously he's going to get a bit of a run there by the looks of things. It would probably take something major for him to lose his spot probably within the early few rounds, and we'll kind of see how he goes and how he connects with Jamal and what that sort of combination between the two of them looks like moving forward. Yeah, Morgan Smithies is an interesting one. Horsburgh is suspended for 4 weeks, I believe it is. So looks like he's going to get a little bit of an extended run there for the first four games, see how he goes. Yeah, I think this one's actually shaping up to be quite a good game on Thursday night.
It's going to be very interesting because I don't know what to expect from either of them. Like, I'm just not sure. Both of them obviously finished in the eight last year. You know, they played that finals game against each other, and you know, it feels they both sort of feel like they overachieved last year where they really should be. But this is the year to kind of prove that they didn't. So we'll see how they start. And look, you know what? When the Raiders play, something bonkers usually happens. So let's hope for something unusual, and for a good game. Maybe
Well, I think that
us,
starting with
yeah.
seven, starting with three props out of seven on the bench, or eight players, and they've got three props named, and that they're 15, 16, and 17. So it'll be interesting to see how the makeup of their bench does get, if how that gets changed close to the
Yeah, you
time,
never
because
know. They might.
you can't come out with three props on your bench.
Well, I mean, you can if it's
But
2005, but maybe not now.
it's typical Ricky kind of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's pretty much right.
Mean, you know him, you'll come up with three props and a winger.
Yeah, well, I don't want to talk about Ricky Stewart anymore. So let's move on forward from that. I think it's well known how I feel about Ricky Stewart as a coach. I might go back to you, Aaron. Let's go to the next one. So the Warriors and the Sharks. Unfortunately, Nickell Costa, or Cookstar, as his name is supposed to be pronounced, he's out. So they've put the young fella, and I'm not going to be able to pronounce his last name, but Tane or Tane Tui Tuopiki. I can't, wish I said it better. So he gets to go. It's good we get to see RTS come back in the centres. Metcalf at 5'8". I mean, Kurt Capel gets his first game as a Warrior, and then on the other side, it's pretty much as you'd kind of imagine it's going to be. Braden Trindle, you know, he was always going to play 5'8". So, yeah, I don't know. What's your thoughts on the Warriors and the Sharks?
Yeah, the Warriors, they're lining up as I pretty much expected them to. Obviously, Tuipiki at the back there replacing Nickell Cookstar. That's I think that was to be kind of expected, and RTS was never not going to be added into the squad considering his return to the game. The halves pairing, I think, could be a little bit interesting. See how that goes. Metcalf partnering Sean Johnson. There is a bit to like there. I like Metcalf's style of play, and I think it actually goes quite well with Sean Johnson. Obviously, a lot of people are thinking the Warriors might do a little bit of a slip this year compared to the miraculous rise last year, but I'm expecting them to probably be there and abouts in like the fourth to sixth area at the end of the season. So I think that one could be interesting to see how they go and how they're looking. Yeah, the Sharks, I don't have much to say about them either. Nico, obviously, he's under a little bit of an injury cloud, but named to play. So kind of expecting him to line up and yeah, not too much change to their team from last year, so they should be able to stay nice and consistent too, you'd think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to say anything, which we might we probably I probably don't want to take too
Metcalf
long
was
on
the
each
guy that got
game.
injured halfway through the year, right, for the Warriors.
Yeah,
He was
he
just
was really
on
good last year.
fire, and I'm so happy to see him back. I really am. Everyone's favorite Dylan Walker. Interesting to see if he can maintain the excellent form of last year. He changed the dynamic going over there. It was a breath of fresh air, real change from how he'd been at his previous club. And he makes a difference when he comes on and just sort of changes the way that four back play. So it'd be interesting to see if he can still, be a difference maker when he comes on.
Okay, next up we've got the Storm and the Panthers. It's an interesting game because it's almost like that whole thing where you get a piece of buttered bread, you get a cat and strap them together, because it feels like this, well, the Storm haven't lost a first round in like 22 years. And the Panthers, you just can't see them losing in the first round. I don't know. I mean, I can because they've obviously done it recently, but It's going to be a strange game. Like I don't know tip wise what anyone wants to do, but I don't think that the Storm should win, but for some reason I've just got to go for them. I mean, Pappenhausen back's huge, but I tell you, their forward pack's looking not the strongest. And I mean, I know Penrith's probably. I mean, Penrith having Luke Somerton start is interesting. I suppose that's the way they're going to go. Luke Garner, is his second year coming across going to be any better than his first? Who knows? But yeah, I don't know. Any thoughts on these teams?
Well, when's Christian Welsh back? Or is he back? No, he's on the bench, isn't
He's on
he?
the bench,
So,
so it seems strange. Maybe they're just easing him in or something.
Well, I think they would. He was a bit underwhelming last year at times, and I'm just not sure how he's whether he's fully recovered or. And it would be interesting to see off the back of the off season how he goes. But they just look, as you say, they look light up front, don't they? Nass isn't there, and they just. Look a bit kind of, they got that Warbrick is amazing, Coates is great, their halves are fantastic, the spine is, if Pappenhausen's firing, the spine is fantastic. They're just a bit light up front, and I just think the likes of Fisher Harris and Leota and Martin and Yeo will just be too much for them.
Yeah, it does feel that way. Have you got any comment, Aaron, or we can move on to the next one?
No, I think everything I was thinking has pretty much been summed up.
Fair enough. All right, so the next one is the 2024 Premier Eels against the Bulldogs. It's probably the last time I'll ever say that because we probably won't win a game. But yeah, interesting with Sivo out, they're going with Morgan Harper, which. I can tell you a lot of Parramatta fans on the Discord server that you guys aren't mentioned for probably didn't like that. I find it interesting that all off season, Parramatta Eels coach Brad Arthur said that he would only play one hooker and not have a bench hooker, and yet in round one he has a bench hooker, unless he plans on playing Brendan Hands as like a back rower or a emergency 5-8. I don't know, but that's probably the main sort of things out of that. I think Parramatta's pretty much. Exactly what you'd expect otherwise. The Bulldogs have about 400 utilities. So Blake Taff at fullback's interesting. I thought Crichton might be the fullback, but they've gone Crichton in the centres. Drew Hutchison to start at halfback is interesting. I mean, this side could be good. There's a lot of potential there for the Bulldogs. I just don't know whether they're going to, as a collective, be a very good side in round one. I just don't know. I'm hoping they're terrible, but they could also be really, really good. So I don't really know. What do you reckon, Aaron?
Yeah, the Bulldogs, I think, are a little bit of a they'll have to play a couple of months together and see how they go. Obviously, mass changes in the off season. I'm really surprised that Stephen Crichton wasn't named at fullback because I'm pretty sure that's where they signed him to play. So it seems like they may have done a bit of a 180 there. And Taff, I mean, coming from the Rabbits, he played a little bit of fullback while he was there and did a job, I suppose you could say. But yeah, they're definitely a wait and see case for me as well. The Eels, I was wondering how they'd replace Sivo, how they'd kind of shuffle that back line. And yeah, I don't mind what they've done. I think it could work for them. I'm just gonna say though, as a Tigers fan, the bench looks 75% familiar to me with Madison, Offa-Hengawi, and Tuilagi all there.
Yep. Very interesting. And the other guy played for Penrith before too. So, yeah, no, that's all right. Very, very interesting side. Look, we'll see how they go on Saturday. Next one is the Titans and the Dragons. So, as Richard's well aware, in our 52%, I've got the Titans. So I'm really hoping they turn up. Brimson at center, I think, is the right move for him, and obviously we're going to do that. Kinney at fullback, and then you got Cam Pereira, Sammy and Kelly. Like, it's a good back line. They're pretty much exactly how I thought they would be. Interestingly, Sam Verrills didn't has not starting. They're going Chris Randall. For the Dragons, the Jack Bird center experiment is back on. Kyle Flanagan. I suppose under Dad he might play better. Yeah, I mean they're both pretty much exactly how I'd expect them to be. What do you reckon about the Dragons, Aaron? Dragons and Titans, sorry.
Yeah, the Dragons, they're how I expected them to be. Obviously they had to replace Jaden Sullivan at 5'8", and yeah, Kyle Flanagan seemed like the obvious choice. Maybe a little bit of potential nepotism involved there, but hey, if it works, it works. As for the Titans, I thought they'd maybe start Sam Verrills and have Chris Randall coming up off the bench, but having that swapped around, I see that potentially working as well, for your sake anyway.
Exactly. Any thoughts, Richard? Titans?
I thought Cam Pereira is back, and I really thought he was he should have had nomination for Rookie of the Year last year. I was amazed he wasn't nominated. They've got both Fermor back, who did him who injured himself, was it either in the preseason or round one last year, and that was just devastating for them because in the previous year he was just Mr. Reliable and a real workhorse. So if he can make a combination up there with Fotoaker, and if they can ever get Big Fifita back, they're going to be a handful. And then you've got Campbell to come back as well. So I don't know how he's going to quite fit in, whether they're going to play him as a utility, whether they put him at fullback. I don't know. But the Titans, I'm high on the Titans this year, but then I'm high on the Titans every year, and they always let me down.
Exactly. All right. We only have two to go. Well, we have one to go, sorry. We can try and rush it. I think we might run out of time on this call. So if we cut out, we'll just jump back in. But last game, Dolphins and Cowboys. Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting anything too dramatically different for what the forwards were or the backs are. So I cut myself off because we ran out of time on that call, but we're back. So yeah, I was just saying, not anything I wasn't expecting. I love seeing Ray Stone at 13. Love Ray Stone. Tom Flegler starting up front. Look, it's I think the Dolphins are a good side, but and we'll just see whether they can surprise in round one again. On the other end, I mean, there's not too many surprises. Obviously, there's a couple of players out and things like that. Zach Laibach getting the start at center was good for him. And yeah, I suppose I've got not much else to say except for they might. I kind of thought maybe they would do something with Jake Clifford, but they can't really fit Jake Clifford and Jake Granville on the same bench. So I suppose that's all they're going to end up with. I might go back to you, Richard, because I think I talked to Aaron last time. But what's your kind of thoughts on this last game of the round?
I'd like to see, well, obviously Queensland Derby is one of the many 500 Queensland Derbies this year. It's a great, always a good way to start the season. I'd like to see how Farnworth goes in his new team. That's going to be an interesting look. They've and Flegler and see what difference he makes for them up front. Sullivan's back in the seven jersey, and it's just, I mean, the Dolphins just fell apart last year. They were just beaten up, but they've got more depth. If you've got people like Aitken and Averillo, not even making the team, and Averillo would walk into that Bulldogs team if he was still there. They're just, the Dolphins are looking pretty good. It will be down to see what if the Queensland, North Queensland Cowboys, if they can recapture that form of 2022, or whether they're going to continue being an up and down team like they were last year, with just sometimes they look great and other times they just look like they were lost. So it'd be really interesting to see quite how they put it together. Drinkwater had a very, very down sort of end to last year, and be interesting to see if they sort of get their mojo back. I am surprised Kyle Felt is still playing. He's older than me.
Yeah, I mean, but who have they got? I suppose Semi Valame would be the choice, but yeah, I don't know. It both these teams feel like the coaches kind of have been. I don't know. I wouldn't have made the same choices. I don't hate Cody Nikorima at six, but I tell you what, that Katoa is a much better player, and I know he's still young and they probably want to not expose him, but I'd be doing more what Ricky Stewart did and just giving the young kid a go and just go have three rounds, see what you can do. Because he was great at the start of last year. I actually think their season went off the rails a bit when they lost him for a bit and they put Nikarima in there. It just kind of didn't work for me. But yeah, I suppose if that's the way they're going to go, that's where they're going to go. What's your thoughts, Aaron?
Talking,
Oh, sorry. So you go, Richard.
I was to say, talking old and slow. I can't believe Jake Granville has not retired.
Well, yeah, and Jake Granville's in the 17, so I don't know why you
Yes.
go with Jake Granville in 17 and not go with Jake Clifford, but that's up to them. Yeah, sorry, Aaron, what were you going to say?
I'm really disappointed for obviously Ray Stone, the Dolphins there with sorry, Tom Gilbert with the ACL injury. That's a massive loss for them on the eve of the season. So that's
Don't
really
say
tough to.
Ray Stone and ACL to me ever again.
I got mixed up there a little bit.
No, that's right. Look, Ray Stone died for that round three victory. So we all salute him forever. Parramatta fans will always love Ray Stone.
I do remember that. That was one heck of a try that he scored against the Storm in the
He was
process of
amazing
causing himself that horrible
in the
injury.
process of destroying his season, and then we never played for us again because he signed with the Dolphins. But yeah, look, really bad for Tom Gilbert, and I feel like that's. I'd be interested to see what would have happened if he was fit, with whether they would have started him and put Flegel on the bench, what they would have really done. Because I feel like I love Jesse Romish. He's been a great player for a long time, but I feel like his time is kind of running out now. And if they had Gilbert and Flegler, maybe further down the season, that might be their starting front row rotation. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be Jesse Bromwich all year because I really don't see much else. I mean, Jared Wallace is there and Mark Nichols, but none of them are really starters. So yeah, I don't know. It looks like that's what they're going to end up with most of their season.
I have a
And
lot of
as for
love
the
for Jared Wallace. I really do.
Oh, he's good, but he looks like he's ready to retire too. I mean, Jake Granville, I don't understand how he's still playing. But yeah, anyway, that's my personal opinion on him anyway.
And
Oh.
as for the Cowboys, my thing with the Cowboys is I'm really surprised they've gone with Felt over Valame. I feel like there's a lot more upside to Semi Valame at the moment over Kyle Felt. Obviously, he's a lot younger. He's got a lot of potential. And when he played last year, he was really, really solid, really strong. Very good runner of the ball, has a good ability to tackle and defend. And their bench looks really dangerous, except for Jake Granville, I'd have to say. Sam McIntyre, Griffin Neame, Kulakevu Finifuiaki, massive, massive bench. Tough to see Tom McCailey after an incredible trial the other weekend not getting a run.
Yeah, well, I suppose he's become the one with journeyman now, McCailey. I mean, he went over to England, came back, played for the Titans. He's now at the Cowboys. It's like, yeah, I mean, that's what I suppose that's what happens. Yeah, all right. Well, we'll see what happens. I don't want to tip who's going to win because I'm terrible at tipping. But yeah, look, I think that might be the end of it for my first episode or our first episode, and hopefully this has gone well, and we'll be back next week and we'll have six more games to do the turning points of, and we can chat about the week after. Thanks very much for joining me, guys. It's giving up your time. It was really great. And we'll say goodbye to everyone.
Thanks, David.
Thanks for having me.